Good afternoon. As always, I'll kind of start with a review of Sunday's performance. Obviously, it was a disappointing one. And reviewing the tape and reviewing it with the staff and players, you know, when you look at it, it's really quite simple. The first half was a game of field position. You know, we didn't convert third downs. We had a couple tipped. We had a bad snap on one third down. They stopped us in a couple short yardage situations, so we never established rhythm offensively. They were able to, even when they weren't producing scoring drives, I thought every time that they possessed the ball, they converted a third down or two, and it really created a situation where we played the entire first half on our side of the field. And of course, when that happens, sooner or later the dam will break, as it did on a third and one. They got a big play and were able to get a touchdown. We were able to put a field goal on the board before the half and establish some momentum. Then we come out in the second half. Obviously, they put together a nice drive where they convert some third downs. We get that lateral play and a turnover. And really, that drive coupled with two really negative turnover plays created a deficit that we could not overcome. The two turnover plays being the lateral, of course, and the interception that gave them the ball on a short field at about the plus 17 for them. We're disappointed, obviously. But at the same time, we accept responsibility for it. We realize that we can't afford to start games slow on third down. We got to do a better job of winning situational football than we did on Sunday. We were 0-for-3 in short yardage situations in that football game in the first half, two being third and ones, one being a fourth and one. Got to win those down and distances if you want to be a team that's got a stake in this tournament. So we'll go back to work this week in an effort to correct those mistakes. But largely, we need to understand that the position that we're in. You know, we got to play consistently better than we've played. From an injury standpoint, I'll talk about a couple of guys. Willie Colon had surgery on his knee yesterday. He'll be out for several weeks. You know, no real update on him other than that. I think we need to let a day or two go by before we look at the totality of maybe his possible return or no. Just know that he had surgery yesterday to repair his left knee, the one that he's been dealing with. Mike Adams will still be out this week with his ankle sprain. Cortez Allen has a hip flexor. You know, he's going to definitely be limited at the early portions of the week, and it may put his participation in question. Keenan Lewis has a hip flexor as well. That's just going to slow him down at the early portions of the week, but we expect him to perk up. Of course, Ike Taylor will remain out with his ankle injury. Byron Leftwich is back, and we look forward to getting Lamar Woodley back on the practice field, hopefully moving toward participation. Obviously, we're running short at the cornerback position. Those guys that had an opportunity to step up and log a bunch of snaps over the last week and a half or so, it looks like that's going to continue. We'll continue to work with those guys and build a plan around what they're capable of executing and executing at a high level. More than anything, it's not about what we call, it's about what those guys are capable of executing. So as we prepare this week, we'll have that in mind in regards to some of those young corners that are going to participate. Guys I'm talking about, guys like Curtis Brown, excuse me, DeMarcus Van Dyke, and, of course, Josh Victorian, who played a substantial amount in the second half of that football game on Sunday. Now, looking ahead to Dallas and the challenges that they provide, obviously, if you start with their offense, you know, it's about Tony Romo and the quality of eligible pass catchers that he has, the rapport and relationship that he's had with Jason Witten, the tight end, is extraordinary. He is a tough guy to deal with. He is a savvy route runner, is always quarterback friendly, working back toward the football. He's a vertical threat. He's an easy guy to throw passes to because he's such a large target. He does quality work in the slot against interior defenders, particularly working between the hash and numbers. He's been very effective. You can also say those similar things about Miles Austin, who in the multiple wide receiver personnel groups works primarily in the slot opposite of Witten. He wins in similar ways that Jason Witten does. He's quarterback friendly. He works back to the football. He can create space for himself at break points. He's a very crafty and veteran route runner. Obviously, Dez Bryant is a serious matchup problem, particularly on the backside of trips. He gets in single safety defenses and gets in one-on-one matchups with corners, and he wins more than his share of those. Not only does he have strong hands, and it's tough to prevent him from getting the football, but he's equally as dangerous once he gets the football in terms of getting him on the ground. He's a big, strong run-after guy that's going to require good sound tackling to get him on the ground after the catch. Their run game features DeMarco Murray, a young, talented runner out of Oklahoma, great straight-line speed, kind of a deliberate one-cut guy or a shuffle guy. He's got a nice little shuffle step that creates space, and then, boom, he accelerates and hits holes. He's got great hands. On defense, for us, we're playing a 3-4 team, and most of the time when you're playing a 3-4 team, you're talking about an outside linebacker tandem, and this might be the best of the bunch with DeMarcus Ware and Spencer. They're highly disruptive, of course. Both tackles have got to be prepared to see them. They're not right and left outside linebackers. They swap. You'll see both guys, both tackles have to prepare to block both guys. Both guys are adept also at dropping into coverage, be it zone coverages or fire zone coverages. They're very versatile in terms of their skill set. They got a talented group up front. If Ratliff is available to play, obviously he's one of the best in the business, very active and disruptive. He's a chore for most all centers. I like the work that I'm seeing from Jason Hatcher. He's been around there for a number of years. I think he's having his best year yet, particularly in the rush game. When paired with DeMarcus Ware, the games that they run, they do a nice job of breaking down the left side of the offensive pocket when they work in tandem. The corner group is a talented one. They went out and spent good money on Brandon Carr from Kansas City. He's a quality veteran player. Obviously, they have Claiborne, a first-rounder, at the other corner spot, and they have Michael Jenkins, a former first-rounder, as the third corner. All guys are extremely talented, zone corner capable, but also very, very salty and capable of playing man-to-man coverage. And, of course, a veteran guy they have in the middle back there is Sensabaugh, who's been around the league for a long period of time. We understand the challenges that face us this week. We got two football teams that had ups and downs who still have life. This is a big football game. I expect our guys to perform as such. I'm sure the Dallas Cowboys are preparing in a similar manner. But again, given some of the things that we're working with, I think it's appropriate that we build a plan around the guys having the capability to execute and execute at a high level. It may mean a smaller menu. We're fine with that. What we're worried about is execution, and we got to execute at a higher level than we have in a more consistent manner than we have in recent weeks. So we're excited about the challenges that face us this week. Obviously, we're busy in terms of our preparation. We look forward to that preparation and ultimately that play. I'll be happy to address any questions.
Mike, you mentioned Troy after the game. Any kind of setback with him?
No, I don't think that there is any setback with him. He has experienced a little tightness in the game at different points or another. But I think largely, I think his arrow up in terms of his overall health. Obviously, we'll continue to look to maybe spell him some in an effort to preserve him and keep him moving in the right direction. But as we sit here today, I don't think there's any major negatives in response to his performance from a health standpoint.
You mentioned it was an Achilles after the game. Is that different than the calf injury he suffered early in the year?
I probably misspoke if I said Achilles. I got a couple Achilles going on, and I got a calf going on as well. It was a calf.
Mike, with Willie out, you've been using Marquise at guard, obviously, in the Gerskin Center. Status quo there, or might the calf be coming into the picture at all?
Yeah, our plan is to work David. David's worked his way back to health. Has been available to us the last several weeks in a backup capacity, participated on PAT and field goal. We believe that his health is at a level now that we can put him in and watch him prepare during the course of the week. And if we like what we see, he may have an opportunity to play. If he does, of course, we'll swing Ramon over to left guard, which he has experience at and he's very capable at, and we'll leave Marquise at center. Obviously, if a guy like Ratliff is playing, it would behoove us to have a guy like Marquise Pouncey at center position.
Josh McTorian and DeMarcus Van Dyke, two guys signed during camp, and you know the depth of the team, they're going to have to step into duty here. Can you talk about what they've shown you so far?
You know, both guys aren't afraid of the competition. Josh particularly, I think, is very ball aware and has good ball skills. DVD has played a lot of ball. Van Dyke, particularly prior to getting here, he's game tested. Maybe not game tested here, but I think he played in 14 or 15 games defensively with two or three starts in Oakland prior to us getting his services. Both guys have worked extremely hard on the practice field, getting an opportunity to compete against the likes of Antonio and Mike Wallace and representing themselves rather well. But practice fields, of course, and game fields are two different things. We're excited about watching those guys prepare and, more importantly, putting them in a position where they can execute with great detail as we go into the stadium on Sunday. So it's more about what they understand and understand very well and able to display on the game field than maybe necessarily what we would like to run or are comfortable with.
Mike, are you planning any changes to your running back situation, possibly Rashard moving
up? No, not as I sit here right now. You know, obviously we didn't run the ball in a manner which we'd have liked on Sunday, but really it was more of a function of situations than our inability to run the football. We didn't convert third downs in the first half. They did. It led to a lopsided time of possession, obviously, and then the explosion plays that happened in the second half, the lateral that was ruled a touchdown, and, of course, the interception that gave them the ball on a short field put us behind to the point where we became one-dimensional and really wasn't able to establish any semblance of a consistent ground game that we desired to establish. So as we sit here today, we intend to utilize the same people that we did last week. Hopefully those situations won't arise where we get one-dimensional in the manner in which we did last Sunday.
What were the pros and cons that went in the decision there to have Ramon maybe move over to the left? I know you're highly complimentary of the way he played with Beecham in tandem before last week's games. Just simply familiarity with David playing right?
Yeah, he has more position flexibility and more comfort in doing so than DeCastro does at this point. And so that's the chief reason.
Like, if you had a chance to revisit the possible two-point conversion, and if you had to do over again, would you do the same thing?
You know, I really have, and I really kind of do feel the same way that I did. And the reason why I said that was I thought we had a better chance. And again, what we're talking about, of course, are tough situations. But I thought we had a better chance to sneak back into the game if we didn't. And if they went into a chew-the-clock mentality in terms of running the ball, I thought we could get the quick stops necessary to get back in the game. If they did that, I thought if we started going for two and particularly getting them, that they would leave their playbook open. And obviously with the way they started the second half, converting maybe five or six third downs, I didn't like our chances in those circumstances. So we didn't. We kicked the one. They went into clock-killing mode, and we were able to get the quick stops associated with that because we were stopping the run. I think, you know, they were running at 2.6 per carry. So we were able to get the quick turnover rounds and get the balls back in our hands and maybe create the momentum necessary to sneak back into the game. Obviously, it would have been tougher to sneak back into the game had we started going for two earlier than I was comfortable with.
Mike, what do you say to a guy like Curtis Brown, and do you feel comfortable using him in the same role, or are your options now limited because of other injuries?
You know, more than anything, it's about this is an awesome opportunity for him. To show that he's capable and to show his preparedness and to deliver for our team. Not the results that we were looking for last time out for him, but you can say that about all of us. So we don't live in our fears, we live in our hopes, and we're all eyes moving forward in terms of our preparation and opportunity this week, and he has an opportunity to respond to a less than ideal performance the last time out.
Mike, you dressed five wide receivers in the last game. Is that a week-to-week thing to look at that, or how is
it? It is, given the health of our team at other positions, and it's not exclusive to the wide receiver position. It's about getting the best healthy combination of men out there ready to play. So five wide receivers was an opportunity last week. I don't know that it'll be the case this week. We'll see.
Anything else for Coach?
Mike, sure. Coach, a couple times in that game you had holding penalties on returns, and it just hurt your field position. Just your thoughts on that. It's happened a few times this year, and how do you fix that issue?
You know, we're going to continue to stress technique and proper technique and angles and blocks in relationship to the ball. We're going to continue to coach fundamentals. But at the same time, you know, we got to accept responsibility for the plays that were out there. You know, one was marginal, one was definitive. That's football. You know, I also acknowledge that when you're kicking the ball in a kicking game, there's there are generally some penalties on those plays, but we got to do a better job. When you're running as thin as we're running, our margin for error is minimal. We got to take those opportunities to create splash plays for us and flip the field, and we didn't do it. And that's the bottom line in the last game. We didn't do it in the return game, but we also didn't do it in the kicking game either. You know, our net punting was not impressive in the first half of that football game, and that led to the field position issue that created the deficit at the half.
Hey, Mike, Brett Keisel and some other veterans suggested after the game the team wasn't ready to play. Brett Keisel even said he suggested before the game that he could sense that. When you've got a team, do you mind when a player says something like that after a game? And also, too, when you've got a team with a lot of younger players who haven't been through the stress of December football, as you'd like to call it, how do you prevent that from happening?
You know, I don't mind a guy speaking the truth as he sees it under any circumstances. And, you know, I'm a result-oriented guy, and the result of that performance would lead you to believe that that's a possibility. So I don't run away from that. The proof is in the pudding. You know, I felt good about our preparation and our overall game readiness, but our play didn't display that. So I agree with him. We'll go back to the lab and work in an effort to put it on tape this week.
He said the same thing, Mike. It's not about the week of preparation leading up. It was the feeling that he had on game day. What, if any, feeling have you noticed on game day that was dissimilar from, say, Baltimore?
You know, other than our inability to establish rhythm and convert third downs, and their ability to do it and to play on our half of the field, obviously that's a concern. That's not a good feeling when you're not establishing rhythm and moving the chains and possessing the ball. And the defense was put in some short field circumstances, most of which they stood up to in the first half of that game. So when you're working on your half of the field and the defense is taking the field with that level of sense of urgency, obviously those feelings are associated with it. I like the way that we dealt with it for the most part. I still thought we had an opportunity to get back in the football game, particularly with how we were able to end the half by putting points on the board. But obviously, when they put together a drive to start the second half, and then we had the lateral that was ruled a touchdown, that created a deficit, of course, that was tough for us to overcome.
Just to clarify, the last couple of weeks with DeCastro, so he has been 100% health physically ready. It's just a matter of getting him.
You know, again, with a guy like him, it's more than health because he doesn't have a lot of playing background. So although he's been healthy, the practice has been good for him. The technique growth and development has been good for him. Just simply playing professional football has been good for him. So although he's been healthy, you know, we still thought he had room for growth from overall readiness standpoint. We're ready to take the next step potentially this week, again, depending on how that preparation looks.
Mike, when Willie Colon got hurt, he had to shuffle the line again, yet it was the same combination that you were forced to use against Baltimore, but they didn't seem to be as effective as they were against the Ravens. Anything that you could see when you went back and looked at it?
You know, probably more than anything, in preparation for the Ravens, we prepared that combination of guys all week, as opposed to last week, you know, we prepared Willie some, and we fell into that. Well, that's the nature of in-game injuries, and that's why most of the time, when people know that people are going to be unavailable, combinations, regardless of who they are, have a better chance to play above the line in preparation than you do when you experience in-game injuries and some of the adjustments that are associated with it. Again, not an excuse, just a reality. I think that we're capable of playing better than the way we played, regardless of rotations and preparation and things of that matter.
Like you said after the game, you thought the lateral was a forward pass. Even with that, have you been able to figure out what Antonio Brown was doing with the ball in the end zone?
No, I don't. He didn't do a good job of falling on it, obviously. It looked like he attempted to pick it up, and unsuccessfully so. Again, another, you know, error in judgment on our part in that football game, one of many.
Just to clarify, if I can go back to the two-point, you said you were worried about losing time, them going into clock-killing mode. I think there was about 6 minutes left when that Wallace touchdown was scored. If time was a factor, wouldn't it behoove the team to have it be a two-possession game as opposed to forcing yourself to score three times?
I was actually talking about earlier than that, when we got 10 points and it was 27-10. That's the scenario that I was talking about. Once you get in the six-minute scenario, you know, you're long ball hunting at that point. I was talking about when it was, you know, 27 maybe to 10 or something like that, when we got that first touchdown.
So that second one with 6 minutes left, needing three touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions, you didn't see that as a viable, you know, viable option.
It was bleak at that point, yes.
Anything else?